You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci here on Cleveland Browns Daily. And if you're shopping for a Browns fan this holiday, the best fans in the NFL need their gear. Shop the best selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. Visit the store at First Energy Stadium, open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week, or go to shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Obviously, not a fun day for anybody here associated with the Cleveland Browns or the fans. All of you out there in the dog pound, disappointed, as are we, after that performance against the Pittsburgh Steelers, which was ugly basically from start to finish, seeing the Browns lose the game 27-11, and really it was 27-3 with 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. The game not even as close as that score might indicate. It was really never a two-possession game at any meaningful point in the second half. So, very disappointing. We do want to hear from you, though. We can all talk about it together. 216-578-0850. That's 216-578-0850. Or you can tweet the show at Browns_daily. And we, before we get the roundtable together, let's go to Brandon in Washington State. What's up, Brandon?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
All right. First, I want to preface this with saying, you know what, I'm a diehard Browns fan. My father was a Browns fan, my kids. I got like three generations in the house right now watching the game yesterday. So I'm disappointed as the next person when they lost the game. But that said, I kind of feel like, honestly, we're where we're supposed to be at. And what I mean by that is this offseason, what do they do? I mean, they put everything into the defense. And the result is, I believe, is that they're still ranked number fourth overall. Anybody would tell you that this is the best defense that we've had since they've come back. And what you have now is a team that can keep games close, but can't win them. And that's frustrating, because we can't keep games close, but we can't close them because there's no O. And the fact that you combine that with the year when the AFC was down, it throws an extra hope into the mix. Well, when I look at the overall plan of like what they've set out to do, we're kind of where we're supposed to be at right now. I know that's frustrating for a lot of people and for me too, but I see the big picture that, you know what, the defense is pretty much there. I mean, I've seen there's going to be worse defenses than ours playing in January and February. We just need to get the O, and it takes time. You can't do it all in 1 year. So, yeah, I'm disappointed, but I do feel that we're on the right path. It's just going to take a little bit longer than we had hoped.
Yeah, I'm going to go along with the thought that the defense offers some encouragement. I think there's still areas in that defense that have to be addressed, though. I'm not totally satisfied that everything defensively is where it needs to be for this team to get to where it wants to be. And I think yesterday was an example of, you know, the pass rush has not been great, and the pass rush is supposed to be great. And this pass rush is not generating enough pressure, certainly not getting any sacks or enough sacks. Ben Roethlisberger was mostly unbothered by anything that happened with that front seven. He had an issue. I think they ran a full house blitz where he had to get rid of the ball quickly, and another instance where Barkevious Mingo hit him after a throw. But for the most part, it wasn't a case that, and we heard about this, talked about this going into the game. They had to pressure him. They had to bring that heat to make it uncomfortable for him to do what he was doing. Now, they were able to run the ball and actually ran the ball more successfully, or at least with enough success that it kept them balanced. It certainly did enough to keep the Browns defense off balance. And that area came up short. I mean, we'll pin most of this game on the ugliness and sloppiness of the offense, the turnovers and the ineffectiveness and ineptitude there, I don't think the defense gets off unscathed completely.
Absolutely not. And the defense, it has been in this game, was particularly, I would say, disappointing. And you talked about the pressures. There were two quarterback hits in the whole game. There were six quarterback hurries. Well, and zero sacks. When you turn it around and you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, they had five sacks, six hits, seven hurries. This defense is designed to get to the quarterback. You heard where the blitz percentage was, same from the head coach himself, same as it was in the Baltimore game.
Right.
And that was a game where the Browns actually got to the quarterback. And what troubles me right now, what I don't like that I'm seeing from the defense, is Barkevious Mingo had four sacks a long time ago. Barkevious Mingo still has four sacks in this game, on this season.
Yeah.
You've seen Paul Kruger, a guy who had a phenomenal year last year, get brought in, paid, you know, very handsomely to play and be a disruptive pass rushing force. And Paul Kruger on this season, you know, 2.5 sacks. That's not enough. Jabal Sheard, a guy who I thought was going to have a huge year, 2.5 sacks. When you're blitzing as much as this team is blitzing, when you're brought in here to be in a defense that generates those kinds of sacks and gets those kinds of sacks, and it's not happening, you put your secondary at a disadvantage. And while the pass rush has been good, it needed to be better, especially against an offensive line that had been so susceptible to the pass rush previously, right, as the Steelers had been. For Ben Roethlisberger to have not be sacked at all in this game, you're going to lose. We talked about going into it.
Oh, yeah.
There's no question Ben Roethlisberger was the better quarterback in this game. The way to neutralize him was with pressure and to at least try to level the playing field.
Yes.
They were unable to do that, and you saw what happened. Good quarterbacks, when given time, as Matt Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, and Ben Roethlisberger have been now in the last five games, will tear this defense apart, and we saw it once again.
Yeah, we said that, and we believed that, and when we saw the result of that. It had to be a case of neutralizing him. And the only way that happened was, well, there's two ways. You pressure him, you do it through good coverage, and the combination of those things didn't come remotely close to being together. Joe Hayden was a frustrated guy yesterday, and I know he hated the fact that he got torched for a touchdown, as he's prided himself on shutting down those top receivers. I talked about this with you during the week. I worried about the speed that Antonio Brown was going to bring to the table, and that you give him any kind of release, he's gone. Not only did he get a release, he also did a little study. He did a stutter step. And Joe, and I don't know if Joe took that, but yes, for whatever reason, Joe, you can't stop for a half a second with a guy with that kind of speed. He did. It was an odd-looking coverage, if you will. And that was part of the, again, that was part of the problem with this game. From a defensive standpoint, but that's what I'm saying about my discouragement looking ahead. There's a lot that this team still has to fix. There's so much that it has to get into, and that you're not going to get it all done. I don't think any of us really believed one off season would solve everything. By that I mean the upcoming off season, Nathan. But I see it as a larger task today than I did maybe before.
I'll say a bigger one too, though. Yeah. It changes. One off season can make a difference in the NFL. We have seen it time and time again. But to our last caller's point, you need offense. To have an effective pass rush, a lot of the time it comes from the fact that you're ahead. You're putting points on the opposition. You're putting them in obvious passing situations, and you're having the ability to go get them when you know what's coming.
Right.
And this offense does not do that. 11 points this week. The offense last week, 13 points. And by the way, at least 6 of those 13 came on a very short field courtesy of the defense. The week before, 24 against Baltimore, 17 against Kansas City, 13 against Green Bay, 17 against Detroit. You cannot win in today's NFL when you're scoring so few points. That's just the bottom line. And this offense, and I think the caller's point was right, I think this defense overall is still doing well, mm-hmm, but it is not doing enough to carry this offense, and I don't know that it can reasonably be expected to do that week in and week out. Right now, the Cleveland Browns are without question a bottom eight offensive team in the National Football League, and I would say as far as the skill position players go, only Josh Gordon would be a surefire starter on good teams in the NFL.
Yeah, that's it. I don't think I'm going to be able to pick anybody from the line.
Well, the line, Joe Thomas is going to start. Alex Mack's going to start. But I'm saying skill position players.
But even from the, they're starting.
Alex Mack and Joe Thomas, they'll start.
But I'm.
They're good.
I think they're good, but are they good enough? I don't know.
Yes.
I look at the line, and maybe it's because others bring them down. I look at everybody on this team, and the list, you're going to be challenged a little bit about finding really legitimate high-end players that you would take from this offense and love. And Gordon does it for me. Jordan Cameron doesn't do it for me anymore. I I've let go of the notion that, well, for the fifth straight time, I'm going to say, or third straight week or whatever, he's going to step up. He's going to do it. This was an opportunity for him. He should have come up much bigger in this game against that kind of coverage. And what does he do? He drops two passes, including a touchdown. You cannot do that. You're not big time when that happens. It just can't happen. It's that simple. And as much as the guy has this talent that you want to see come out, and we got excited, mm-hmm, about him early, That's a disappointment.
I will say this for him. This is really his first season starting and his first season playing.
Yeah.
He's kind of in many ways in terms of game experience, a rookie.
I know. But
I still think Jordan Cameron has the talent necessary to succeed for this team and be a very good part of this offense.
It's year three. He's regressing. I mean, he's not stepping up. And you got to step up now. I think that's making excuses for him. I think the guy needs to do better and needs to be better, and we're just not seeing it. Quick call, Terry on the cell. Hey, Terry.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to make a quick point there. Earlier this morning, I heard on the radio show, this same station, you know, I kind of was getting flack about management. And never at one point have I heard management say that this was going to be the year. You know, and having said that, you know, they knew that on the offense right now, we have really, just like Nathan was saying, one playmaker. Everybody else pretty much is just a role player. You know, that guy, Obanaya, I mean, he would still be a good player on this roster, but he can't do 80% of, you know, the load here. I mean, he's not that good to do that. He's a decent player, but he's not a good or great player. And so, you know, I think management is getting a raw deal on that aspect, because, like I said, I never heard these guys ever say that this year was going to be the year. They knew that we were lacking the quarterback. They knew that the running back was kind of suspect. The tight end, that was kind of suspect. The offensive line, even. You know, I mean, I seen the right tackle, I forget his name. He
Mitchell
got
Schwartz.
Driven back into the quarterback. You know, I mean, they were looking at that. The same with the guards, you know. I mean, they know. You know, you need at least three playmakers on your squad, you know, in order to make an impact. You got your quarterback. He's got to be a playmaker. You got a running back and a receiver. Those are three playmakers. Most teams that are winning this year, they have at least three playmakers on the offense. Thanks a lot, guys.
It's very true, and that's part of the problem, and I think we saw a lot of investment made on the defensive side of the ball, and it's a top five defense in the NFL right now, and I think you're going to see a lot of investment made in the offensive side of the ball this offseason. And you're right, to their credit, and we've had Joe Banner, the CEO of this team, on this show multiple times, and he never came in and said, I guarantee we're going to the playoffs this year. What he said is, I guarantee you that we have a process that we firmly believe is the right process, and by following that process, we will build a team that will win and have sustained success year after year after year after year. It may not be this year. He never said it was going to be this year. Nobody I've ever spoken to in this building told me it was going to be here, and I remember interviewing for this job with Joe Banner, and he said, it is a process, but I promise you that we have the model that we believe will give us to a position where we will have sustained success for years and years. And listen, no matter what you say, they've already got an extra first-round pick for next year. So that's something that is a positive in and of itself. They've pulled that. So they have been preparing and building to help make this happen, and hopefully they will get that sustained success.
Show me time.
That's right. When we come back, we will have the roundtable. Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers, they will join us. The roundtable brought to you by Rosewood Grill right after this.